Our scripture today comes from Isaiah 40, 6 through 11. A voice says, "Cry," and I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, says the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young."
We're looking this morning at Isaiah 40, so I encourage you to grab your bulletin. We have been studying Isaiah and are in verses 6 through 11, as Daniel read for us. Again, glad you're tuned in this morning. And if you are thinking about what is we're going to look at, you can just be thinking about the Bible, as I said to the kids, that the flower fades, the word of God is forever. I was in Barnes & Noble one day and went in just to study and actually write a sermon, get ready for Sunday, and saw a friend. She works there, had known her from a previous church, chatted with her for a minute, and I kind of went over in a quiet corner to study. And about 15, 20 minutes later, my friend who works there came over, and she said, "I'm going to need your help. There's a lady that's looking at Bibles, and she is asking me questions that honestly I just can't answer. Do you mind talking to this lady about which Bible to buy?" So I went over thinking that this lady was interested in translations and wanted study notes in her Bible and wanted someone else's opinion. And so I went over with that in mind to give her a Bible explanation. Got over there and I could tell that she was struggling. And she just looked at me and said, "Which Bible is best?" And I said, "Well, this is the different translations. Here's the history of these. Here's the study notes." And I could tell just also she was pretty glazed over. And then she looked back and said, "Which Bible tells me what to do?" And found out she had been reading and studying purpose and what God's purpose was for her life. And so I pulled out the ESV Study Bible, which is my favorite, and handed it to her and said, "This is the Word of God. You study it, you understand Him, and He will show you what you're supposed to do." Now, it could have been an NIV and then KJV, that the translation was not the issue. The issue was, this is the Word of God. And her question was so good. I hope that we all can come to the Bible and say, "God, what am I supposed to do?" As a child would come to their mother or father and say, "What's my purpose? Who am I? What am I supposed to do?" Because the Bible answers all these questions for us. Now, as we enter into Isaiah 40, remember the context here, that the covenant people are in captivity. They have been taken out of their land. They're in a foreign land. There's a foreign king who's now ruling over them. And they're asking God some questions. "God, remember that you told us that we were your promised children. Remember that you told us that those who would bless us, you would bless, and those who curse us, you would curse. That we are the children of Abraham. We're your covenant people. And this is where we are now, in captivity." They're questions. "God, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with these people? What are we supposed to do with your promises and the word that you have given to us?" And so what do? We come as the covenant people to the very word of God for answers. I hope that you come to the Bible with questions. I hope you come to the Bible to find answers, because that's what we're going to do this morning as we specifically think about the Bible, the Word of God, and as we study it together. There are just really two things that I want to point out this morning. Two and then a third. So I have 2.5 points this morning. How about that? First of all, that people will fade. Secondly, is that God's word is forever. It's eternal. And then thirdly, is that God himself feeds us. People fade. The word is forever. And God himself feeds us. This is what we're going to be thinking about and looking at this morning from Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 11. So let me first say that people, flesh, fades. And verse 6 clearly tells us this as he says, all flesh is grass. And I held up that blade of grass for the kids. And its beauty is like the flower of the field. Now, people are being compared here to plants, to flowers. And I, even on my way over, I drove by a field out in Rockvale, Tennessee, that was full of golden weeds, really, but flowers. It's beautiful. Now, 2 months from now, when it gets in the 90s here in Middle Tennessee, those flowers will be gone. Isaiah is saying through his mouth, the word of God is saying, that's us. We fade. There's beauty, right? You look at a person, they're beautiful people. That beauty fades. People fade. We are mourning this morning the death of Mrs. Satterfield, Evan's mom. We're sad. She passed. Beautiful woman. Beautiful life. That has now faded. Isaiah is telling us that this is what people are. This is flesh. And when we come to the Bible, we have to admit this. We're just not eternal. We're fleeting people. In our service, when we come and confess our sins and we're gathered together, I often joke and steal the words of Jack Miller and say, cheer up, you're worse than you think, right? That we say this together, and in some joking and some seriousness. But let me say this morning, cheer up. Your life is fading. People around you are fading. And in the context here of the children of Israel, the covenant people, they had to understand this as well. That the promises that God made them are eternal, but the people that are in charge of them now are fading. Even the evil around them will fade. That life and flesh fades. Your family, your marriage, your kids, good relationships also fade. This is life. This is humanity. This is the reality of what we live in and who we are and the bodies that we have. It is slowly but surely these things are going away. I was reminded of that again this week with a man that helped Rachel and I in the church planning process, Darren Patrick, who passed away this week. Darren wrote a book that I read that really helped me to plant the church Redeemer, where we are. And he passed and left behind 4 kids and a wife this week. A good man, a godly man, a preacher. And his life faded. Who are you putting your hope in? People? Flesh? What are even your expectations of people? Fading people. Now, please don't hear me say that these people, us, aren't created in the image of God, and we're beautiful. God has said about us that we're beautiful people. But we're like these flowers. We're withering. And we have to put this into perspective as we begin understanding what Isaiah was saying. A question to really apply this part of the sermon and apply this text best is to just ask simply, what am I expecting of others? What do I expect of people? Do I expect perfection? Do I expect complete satisfaction from others? Do I expect from my wife the house to be completely clean? Do I expect my kids to be totally perfect? Do I expect my friends to always perfectly care for me and be there for me? What's our expectation of people? Let me encourage you this morning as we think about the fading of people to expect less from humanity. And again, we're going to go to God, and don't hear me say that you shouldn't expect somebody to help you or to do things. But let's just say expect less of humanity. The grass withers. The flower fades. And that's us. I think we all need to ask ourselves this question. What are our expectations of other people? Chris and I this week were even talking about reopening the church. Our staff, we were talking and debating and kind of saying, hey, what would happen if we did this? What would happen if we did that? And I kind of stopped us and just said, man, this is hard. What do we expect here? How do we do this? Well, we don't know. We want to do a good job. We want to do this right. But with so much uncertainty, what do we really expect? What do we expect from others? But also, what do we expect from ourselves? Have we become our own worst enemy? And our expectation of what we're supposed to do and not do? What do we expect? Isaiah is telling us, and he specifically was telling the covenant people, can't expect that people are going to completely satisfy you. But you can put those expectations on God. You can put those expectations on his word. And again, I wish I could had brought my flowers up. These are wilting. This Bible is not. It is not. The promises that our Father have made us are never going to wither. In fact, they strengthen. The more we dig into them, the more we know them, the stronger they get. This is the beauty of the gospel. It doesn't change. It gets sweeter. It gets more steady. It becomes more of the rock in which we build our lives, not on something and someone that is fading. And so again, that first point that we see that people fade, but secondly, that the word of God is forever. The end of verse 8, we see this. The word of our God will stand forever. I can't read that verse without thinking about my pastor in St. Louis when I was in grad school, Wilson Benton. And I would hear him say this verse almost every week. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, I had to hear it some Sundays three times because I used to work the sound. And we had three services at the church. And so every time, as I do what Jamie and Jeff and Chris and others do for us and was working the sound, I would hear Dr. Benton say those words. Now, if I'm honest, I don't remember most of Dr. Benton's sermons. But what I do remember is what he said about the word. It's eternal. It's solid. It will stand. And the promises of God will not change. And that's what Isaiah is leading us to. He's leading us to understand that this is the word of God that doesn't fade. It doesn't wither. And this is our hope. This is where we put our hearts. This is where we put our minds, especially when we need stability. Anybody need stability right now? Everybody. Whose life is uncertain? I'm raising two hands right now. Who needs a rock? Who needs something solid? We all do. And so that's why God gives us, again, his word and his promises. And it's why he says here in verse 9, as he's speaking through Isaiah, go up on a high mountain, shout it, yell it, sing it from the rooftops. Jesus said, don't take your light and put it under a bushel or a basket. Put it out there. Why? Because guess who needs to hear that God is solid and his word is solid? Everyone. Shout it. Go up. Declare it. The word of God is to be preached, to be declared, to be said. And specifically here, as we see from Zion, now it's important to see that God communicates through his prophets, his preachers, his evangelists. From what context, from where do these preachers come? They come from the church. O Zion, the place of God, the people of God. O, in verse 9, Jerusalem, the city of God, the picture of the church here. That these are God's people sent from God's organization, his organism, out. These preachers were not preaching on their own. He didn't say, go in Isaiah's name. Go in your own name and do this. He's saying, go in the name of the church with my authority and preach this Bible. Paul tells Timothy this so clearly. In season, out of season, preach the word. Why? Because this is the truth of God. And Isaiah goes on here to say, at the end of verse 9, what are we doing? We're preaching it, we're coming with it, we're coming from the church. And then he says here in verse 9, what does it say? Behold God. Hold on just a minute, I want to show you something. I'm going to use a little picture here, because in some ways we're all kids, right? We all need something visual. Imagine this. Me, as the proclaimer, I wish I could stand on a mountain, but I can't, saying to you, here's the Bible, but hear what I'm saying. This is God. I'm declaring to you, behold him. What is your solid rock today? This. What will never fade? This. See God. See his word. Stand there. Because when we begin getting in the Bible, we begin studying it, meditating on it, reading it, talking about it with others, understanding it, we go from fading people to a forever faithful God. Look at him. He is our highest good. In him is where we find our satisfaction. In him is where we find our stability. In him is where we keep him at his promises. I experienced this week. My boys, I drug them this week out of the house and made them go to Lowe's with me. And they were not happy about having to go to Lowe's. They don't want to get in the car. And I said, if you go with me, I promise we'll go to Taco Bell. And sure enough, we go to Lowe's, we pick up mulch and some other stuff. We're heading out, and Jake, my youngest, says, Dad, remember your promise. We're going to Taco Bell, right? Of course. Because I promised. Where is our stability today? In the promises of our Father. His word. He declares it to us. He says it. And so how do we again apply this? We get in the Bible. We study the Bible. We're with it. We understand it. But let me even go a step further. Just as I'm encouraging you to lower your expectations for people, I want to encourage you to raise your expectations for the Bible. Raise your expectations of the promises of God for you, for your family, for your personal life, for struggles with sin, for future. It, like the lady looking, what am I supposed to do here? The Word of God. He has promised that he will give you abundant life. He has promised freedom from sin. He has promised. Say, Dad, you promised. Raise your expectations of God and his word to you. And see this forever begin to start exploding in your heart. That he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Ask him. Read his word. Study his word. Come to him to know that even though people fade, his word never will fade to you. Take God at his promises. And then finally, we see here that God feeds us. And my third point, look at verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Now, remember here that this is the picture of shepherding, which again, what do you think the people longed for? They're in captivity. A shepherd, someone to lead them out, someone to care for them. They couldn't care for themselves. They felt like sheep. And so they needed a shepherd. And in verse 11, it uses the word, ESV uses the word tend. This word tend also can be translated feed, but it's feed as in a caring feed. Not like you're kind of in the military and just get slopped on a plate. Here's your food, go on your way. Tending is being fed and embraced, cared for, fed in a kind way. The shepherd will feed us, and he will gather us as lambs. You see, God's very aware that we're fading. God's very aware that we are like sheep. Do you know what sheep do when they feel unprotected and a bear or a coyote or something is attacking? They have no defense mechanism. They just gather up. They just get together. They have to have a shepherd. Sheep are very aware that they're defenseless. They know the shepherd's voice. And when God feeds us from his word and his promises, it's like a shepherd speaking to defenseless sheep. We don't trust the other sheep around us. We trust our Father. He is our rock. His word and his promises is where we go. He feeds us. He gathers us. He carries us. And I'm sure you've seen a shepherd before with a wounded sheep on his shoulders, right? Seen a picture of this. But there's somebody that's taking care of that hurt sheep. And he goes on to say, and he gently leads us. You see, the Father knows that we're fading, and he knows that his word is forever, and he knows how to care for us. His word and promises are trustworthy, and he is trustworthy. He's the one we can come to. And so through his word, through the Bible, I'm not going to hold it up again, behold God. See him. Know him. And find your peace there. Cheer up. You're worse than you think. You're weaker than you think. But cheer up. God's word and God himself love you more than you could ever dream. Come to his word. Realize you're fading. Realize he is forever. His word is forever. And realize he's the one that will feed you from his very word. I hope that you are encouraged by this. I hope too that you will take application on this word. Allow this to lead you to the scripture. We're going to be looking again next week. We're going to kind of take a different route out of Isaiah into Psalm 1. And we'll be talking again about the very practical ways in order to see the word of God become more living and active in our lives. So I encourage you to tune in also next week. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you don't fade. We thank you that you are forever and that your word is forever. We thank you that you are such a good shepherd, that's gentle and kind and loving and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. So I just pray for people that are having really high expectations of themselves and others. I pray that they would put those expectations on you, Lord. I pray that you would bring peace. I pray that you would also give us, Lord, the bread that we need from your word. Feed us. Give us that grace, we pray. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it is indeed our bread. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.